What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, October 17th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the best hair in the business, Fran Mirabella III.
How's it going, Greg Miller?
Good, how are you?
Good to see you again.
Good to see you
it's
again.
It's been a good week. We got to see each other a lot already.
We have. Yeah. We did the Borderlands show yesterday, episode two.
Thought it was top secret.
I don't know, is it?
I don't know.
I don't think they care if we recorded
this is
it already.
NDAs for all the plans for Borderlands. You wish and Death Stranding. You wish you could see what's on this.
Exactly,
paper.
You do. I'm more worried about you, Fran. You told me right before this you got hairspray in your eye.
I did. My left eye is burning. So if you just see it, it looks like I'm
one
crying.
Tear.
Like,
you're not crying about like Stadia's wireless controller.
It's not the show. Yeah, I got one of those little flecks coming right off of my hairspray. I told him it doesn't. You'd think it would happen all the time with me, but no.
I would.
Very uncommon.
Wow.
They do, the hairspray I use, I don't run into that.
Okay.
Anyway.
You're okay, though, now. You're ready? You're going to play
through
the pain.
My left eye's burning.
You're going to play through the pain, though. Do we need Kevin, you might want to prepare an eye wash.
Can I get a flushing, you know, rinse?
Kevin will spit in your eye.
He's going to spit in my mouth and my eye?
Well, no. He's going to have a spray to it.
This is going downhill fast, Greg.
Well, then let's get out of it and talk instead about Stadia's wireless controller not being so wireless, Blizzard banning more players, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames with your questions, comments, concerns, and everything under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record the show live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and roosterteeth.com, as well as all of those listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you today. We're recording the Kinda Funny Games cast this afternoon, 2 p.m. Pacific time, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can watch the pre and post show live and watch it ad-free. But more importantly, hear us talk about Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order and Luigi's Mansion 3. Mm-hmm. A big show, Fran.
Yeah. What are you going to watch that table? Live too, right?
That's what it is.
The pre-show, the post-show,
oh, yeah,
and the show all
Patreon.
Live here. Patreon Silver. Is that right? Or is it?
That's right. No, that's right. That checks out.
Yeah. I think I got it right.
I think
now.
You got it too. Yeah.
I'm excited about that one, Greg.
Yeah. What are you going to bring to the table? What are you talking about today?
I'm literally just color commentary because you guys have played all these new and awesome games.
Yeah,
and
you're just
not
let me tell you about Destiny.
Let me tell you all about Iron Banner and the latest Division update. And
I do want to hear about the Division update.
I haven't got to play it yet.
Get out of here. Go home. This weekend, Kinda Funny's taking over Toronto. We're going to EGLX Saturday and Sunday. You can get the full rundown of the schedule over at kindoffunny.com/events. Here, learn about the signing, the Kinda Funny panel, and the Smash Brothers tournament we're doing. Remember, Extra Life is Saturday, November 2nd. It's 24 hours of gaming for charity. You can join us live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames on the day. Watch us be a bunch of goons and spin the tiny wheel and Kevin eat a bunch of Oreos. However, if you want to join, maybe raise some money for the big, beautiful kids yourself, you can join Team Kinda Funny at kindoffunny.com/extra life. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Mohammed Mohammed. Today, we're brought to you by Brooklyn and Manscaped and Escape the Invasion, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! Four items on the Roper Report.
A Baker's Dozen!
Kevin, give it to me straight. How are you? You haven't chimed in a few times. I've given you the softballs. I've mentioned you, but you're
you
over there. You're in work mode. What's happening over there?
I'm a tuckered boy.
You're a tuckered boy?
A little tired.
You're going to go see three movies tonight, too, huh?
I am indeed.
He's a crazy person.
Yeah. Jojo Rabbit today at 1.
Uh-huh.
And then Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and then Jay and Silent Bob Reboot.
Oh, okay.
All for the glory of the Kinda Funny screencast.
Yep.
Tomorrow,
that's why. He's got to do all his homework.
Exactly.
You've had a lot of movie homework going on around here
so
at Kinda Funny.
Terminator, Star Wars, this.
Back here in the storage room watching
Terminator.
Like,
Terminator. No better way to watch Terminator than on a tiny Google Pixel or whatever the hell stupid phone AD is.
Google Pixel XL is pretty big.
Is that what he has?
Yeah.
It was, you know.
It's dumb.
Trust me, he was leaning in closely.
Number one! Stadia's wireless controller won't be totally wireless at launch. This is Jay Peters at The Verge. You'll probably be plugging in Google's wireless Stadia controller when the cloud gaming services launches on November 19th. While it'll work wirelessly while playing Stadia on Chromecast Ultra, you'll have to plug in a USB-C cable to use it with computers or phones at launch, Google tells The Verge. When Google first showed off their controller in March, the company touted how you could seamlessly switch from gaming on your TV to a laptop or a phone while using the exact same controller, without having to pair it with each device. Because the controller would stay directly connected to Google Stadia's servers over its own Wi-Fi. But as 5to9 Google spotted earlier today, Google recently added a disclaimer in a new Stadia explainer video that wireless play will only be available on Chromecast Ultra at launch. And a Google community manager on Reddit later confirmed that meant you'll need to break out a USB-C cable for other devices, perhaps because Bluetooth won't be an option by launch. Google tells us it's focusing on getting wireless play right on TV first because it wants that big screen experience to be as good as possible. That makes sense to me. If Google wants to compete in gaming, it needs to make playing Stadia games on a TV as easy as kicking back on the couch with a PlayStation or Xbox controller. Franimal.
Yep.
What do you think?
Saw it days ago, watched the trailer. There was a number of things in there, you know, talking about, hey, it's not going to work on all the phones yet, right? It's only going to work on these pixels.
Yeah.
And it's only going to work on these tablets. And there's all these little disclaimers, and this was one of those disclaimers in there. So for me, what I've been settling on, it's kind of curious what your take on this is, but sure. I think I've said it before, but we're paying for a Google beta as pro users, kind of. Like, you get early access, but, like, frankly, I think them coming
so
out
you
the
ordered
door,
the you ordered the whole pro package too, right? Yeah, me too.
You know, we got to be in the door and be able to comment on it. And I am interested to check it out, but, like, I mean, it seriously, betas are not a bad thing, but, like, it's a limited launch with limited functionality, and so none of this surprises me. I mean, I think in terms of, like, yes, it's good, it's going to work. That is the bundle we get, right?
We get the Chromecast
Ultra
with the controller.
The controller. So what you get is going to work fine for you. But if you want to do some of the other stuff, it's going to be limited until further notice. We don't know when this stuff's
getting touched. Yeah, no timetable on there, right?
Yeah, but how do you feel about this? Is this sort of like, yeah, this happens all the time? Or is it like, eh,
I'm not,
may
I
not
mean,
go over so well?
It's not going to go over so well, for sure. But it's more that, like, all right, how many more shoes are going to drop before we get to November 19th? And at that point, I did pay, and I've said this in the discussions we've had since I put my money down for this thing, right? Of, like, I get that I'm buying PlayStation VR. I get that I'm buying something early because I believe in the technology, and I want to believe in the technology, and I know I'm going to see it through a bunch of hurdles and a bunch of bumps and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
This isn't the kind of bump I was talking about, right? Like, I was expecting it more along the lines of, like, it's not working. It's choppy right now, but they're working it. Firmware, whatever the hell is coming out to fix this thing. Like, rolling back features tech-wise that they made at the announcement made it seem like it was going to be so easy, so ready to go.
Yeah, like, that's the vision. It's like getting that, the slice of a game, an E3 demo 3 years from when it's out, right? You're like, oh, man, like Anthem went through that, right? You're like, oh, seems awesome from that video. And from concept, awesome. And then it finally is coming out. It's like, well, we didn't meet our vision exactly yet. I'm not worried that Google's going to get there with these features.
Oh, no, not at all.
But
I'm not worried they're going to get there. Yeah, but we're playing the beta, at which point, too, it's like
early access. I don't know.
That's the problem. Why didn't they call it early access? Why did they call it Google Stadia early access? We are charging you $130, but you get the month free of the Game Pass thing. You get the controller. You get a Chromecast. You're getting all these things, but it is early access.
It's not good marketing.
That would... Yeah. Sure.
Nobody's going to sit down. I guarantee. I don't know if they even brought it up, but I have a feeling they talked about how do we go out to market with it. It's like, look, I don't even know if they can support en masse, right? Like, I think specifically by selling the platform for a higher price, you know, because you're going to be able to get it cheaper once it's available, to everybody. Like, I mean, you don't need this.
Well, I mean, technically, when it actually launches outside of the founder, right now the founder's pack is the only way to use Stadia, right?
That's right.
Once it launches in 2020, it's supposed to be that if you don't want any of the crap that we have, you can just buy the game. You pay $60 and then you play it on your TV your computer with a DualShock, phone with a DualShock.
This is the discussion. I'm sitting here with this laptop, whatever. My brother handed it down to me, and like, that's not really about this laptop. But maybe that's the scenario, right? And you're like, oh, I don't have to buy a new game console to maybe play Destiny at 60 frames a second.
4K.
That's something we're waiting to be confirmed.
Like,
this is a hand-me-down laptop, Greg.
Sorry,
it's not going to handle that 4K.
I mean, that's what they say, Frank.
Hypothetical world. You've got to keep up. But the scenario is, right, you're like, oh, cool. I can just like grab my old Xbox controller, plug it in, go to Chrome, go to buy the game, just buy the game and log in.
Yeah.
And for $60, you're up and running or whatever.
It's such
a
weird thing.
We're not there yet.
And I feel like this is the push and pull between Google being Google and then the games people they've on being gamers, where I think Google, probably to your point, is insistent on this being, hey, this is a thing that's worth $130, buy it, buy it, buy it. Whereas I feel gamers in particular, if you were to say, hey, guess what? We're doing an early access founders pack. This is the only way to do it. This is the way to get into it. This is how we're going to try it out and do this, and you're going to learn with us.
Yeah.
I don't think that would have gotten them the headlines they're going to get when this thing launches.
That's right.
Not complete. And I'm still like, what else is going to go wrong? If it gets there on launch day on November 19th, when The Verge and GameSpot and IGN and all these people write about it, and they're like, man, it isn't up to snuff. This sucks. If it was early access, everything would be, but it's early access. That's right. What we expected. Da, 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 da. This is not being marketed that way. And if they keep having announcements like this, trouble.
You nailed it. Exactly. It's, you know, to bring Anthem up again, that's what Anthem went through, right? Remember they had the Origin Premier subscriber access, which turned out same thing. It was like, well, like we're still ironing out some kinks. Like you're taking subscription money.
Yeah.
Same scenario actually as stated. And you're telling people it's this Premier Pro access thing. And so it just sets the wrong tone for wait. We're still working out some kinks, but join us. And if you're excited about this future, join us, be a part of it. It's totally different messaging, right?
And that's the thing is like if there's more of this and if we get there and it's not where it's not ready for prime time, which it will not be.
Yeah,
I did not buy my Founders Pack expecting Google Stadia to be exactly what I envisioned and dreamed of on November 19th.
Yeah, so I think some of that's in there. I mean, I do give them credit. What's interesting, I finally saw this trailer because something I've been complaining about all these things, I feel like, on Gamescast and probably this show too. I was like,
your Ubers too, the Muni, anybody who'll listen.
Exactly. I'm like, hey, viewer to the Stadia Uber driver. But, you know, I felt like they have not done a good job from the announcement until this video. Thankfully, this video finally starts to clear things up. But like, what is it? How does it work? I was like, why don't you just have a video that like clearly explains it? They finally did it. I think that was really good. It's still, I had a few thoughts on that too. I'm like, well, that's glances over some things, and here comes the Fran Whale video producer. Yeah. Is that footage from Stadia that you're using? No, probably not. It's direct source capture footage. This is a whole new discussion I want to have at some point. But are they on the line for all their trailers? And I guarantee you, they're not going to be. Are they going to use the compressed footage that you're going to see in their trailers?
Fran, it's not going to be compressed if I have whatever the hell the MB down I need to be.
That's true. So if they use, here's where I'd be happy. If they use 4K HDR, that's fine. And they label it as such. Those are the trailers. I think that's, because you know when you see a game trailer, you kind of want to see it from that platform. We go through this with other platforms too.
I mean, I think that like they'd worry about the FTC. I don't think they're capturing.
Oh, they're not worried about it. I'm saying for gamers. Look, we're way past it. A ton of game trailers.
You just need 35 megabits per second to get 4K HDR video, 60 frames per second, 5.1 surround.
Well, and I have that, so I'm not worried. But where I'm going with it, this is another side of like the ethics of game marketing.
Sure.
So I'll use the example. We now know Red Dead's on its way November 5th on PC. Exactly. That's the old West sound.
Time I want tarnation beans.
There's a stake in my boot. Anyway, so... where I was going to this is, now imagine going forward, all the Red Dead Online updates and everything, you know, for PlayStation even. Like, it doesn't work that way for PlayStation, probably. But imagine that the trailers were now using PC footage because it looks the best. Most people may not even notice. They're like, dang, that game looks good on PlayStation. And it's like, well, it's the best. We just use PC footage. What are the ethics of using the actual source footage and making sure the audience knows what's there? So, different topic. But back maybe to where we were, which is like the marketing of Stadia, you know, the Pro Edition, I think, so there's going to be some other shoes to drop. I think you're right.
Robbie Roy gives me a you're wrong. 9 to 5 Google. Apparently I said 5 to 9 Google. It's a night shift Google website. You know what I mean?
5 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Everyone, including Jeff Grubb and Lord of Pwn, are like, it's still going to be compressed, Greg. That's how it works. And then, shut up, everybody. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just giving Fran crap. It's fine.
Sorry. I was going off on a rant there, I think. But
it's all part of it. Parker Petroff. Writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So the question that starts not about this, but kind of gets there. So stick with me. You said, Fran, this is what queued up this question in my head. You said you trust Google to get there.
Yeah.
Parker Petroff.
Controller.
Parker Petroff writes in and says, hello, Greg and Fran. Project xCloud has been out in beta for several days now, and the reports thus far have been that the technology works. While Google announced that it is discontinuing its Google Daydream VR program with the quote, there hasn't been the broad consumer or developer adoption that we had hoped, and we've seen decreasing usage over time of the Daydream View headset. We saw a lot of potential in smartphone VR. This is still the quote. Being able to use the smartphone you carry with you everywhere to power an immersive on-the-go experience. But over time, we noticed some clear limitations constraining smartphone VR from being a viable long-term solution. Most notably, asking people to put their phone in a headset and lose access to the apps they use throughout the day causes immense friction, end quote. If xCloud just works and offers consumers another way to play games on their that they already own on their Xbox, do you think Google can win over enough customer confidence to be successful with Stadia? Or in 5 years, will you be able to swap out Google Daydream and insert Stadia into their most recent announcement? Do you think Google is committed to Stadia long term, or is it like a VR thing for them? Is it like a
It's definitely long term with all the hires they're making and the amount of courting they've done with everyone from Rockstar to Ubisoft to I'm trying to think of one more like really big. You always got to name three things, you know. But
sure.
they're working with AAA publishers, and clearly, Gearbox, Borderlands is coming to it. All the above, right? There's big stuff coming. That doesn't happen with no money exchange. And in other words,
I know there's money being exchanged. The concern always is if, like, think of it this way.
Yeah.
We talk about Anthem, right? We talk about Fallout 76. You talk about all these blemishes, right? You get to launch something once. They are launching Google Stadia. Sounds like not the complete version or the vision that we were
pitched
for Google Stadia. They're charging money for it. They're not calling it early access. They're not calling it a beta.
Yeah.
That is going. I can go to my computer right now and write you a dozen different headlines of what that's going to be when those reviews hit. Right?
Confusion is coming. Despite all the disclaimers.
To what we were talking about earlier, where I think gamers get that, I don't think general public gets that. So if they see that Google Stadia is a failure, Google Stadia didn't do what it was supposed to do, Google Stadia isn't hitting the marks it's supposed to hit, that's poisoned the well for them. Mm-hmm. And if the well gets poisoned, then it's constantly Google Stadia trying to push this boulder up a mountain. And then you do wonder, as Google, with the Daydream thing, or with the fucking Google social network that's already gone, but as well, Google Plus. At what point do they look at this? Just like, this isn't worth it. We did put in a bunch of money. We did hire Phil Harrison. We did hire Jack Buser. We have all these different people. Pull the plug.
Look, it's always possible. But even Google Plus was around for, I don't know, 5-7 years. It was around a long time, despite that it was never really working for them. So, again, I believe they're in this for years to come. So it's hard to define what is the analog here? Like, when you say, is it just going to be Daydream? Like, how long was Daydream around? Like, I don't know, 2 years?
I think that if I can chime in just for a
please
second.
Please do, Kevin.
Anytime. There he is.
Big Kev Dog's awake! Oh, wow.
the difference with Daydream is that it required a peripheral that only worked with certain devices. And, I think that the cardboard also worked with it, but, who's doing that? You know what I mean?
Totally,
This thing.
I hear you.
This is something that, takes the place of buying an actual console. And I think that's where there's a huge difference. If someone can come in, pay $60 for a game, and not require anything else, and now with the way things are trending more towards cross-platform play and cross-platform saves, I really think that this could make a big impact in the sense that, you no longer need the investment cost of $500 for a new console. The newer ones are going to cost that much.
That is the one place that, as competition is coming with PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Scarlet, whatever it will be called, Stadia seemingly still stands alone. Like, in other words, xCloud, it works. I've played it at least in a limited environment.
Have you played the beta or just the stuff
at
E3?
Not the beta, just stuff at E3.
Yeah, me too.
So, I actually would love to try this out. xCloud, Microsoft is going to get it working. Which one is better by what margin?
But see, this is my thing. Is I think you're about to see the tables turn. Where I do think that for the longest time, we've seen xCloud, but they've been in the backseat. They had the great trailer. Mm-hmm. We played at E3. That's cool. They're doing it right. The beta is running right now. And so far, the word on the street is it works.
Yeah.
That's all anybody, it does this work. Does it do what it wants? And it seems like Google Stadia is about to come out and be like, it works, but the features they wanted, the controller,
it's got to fall on the fire, everything. Yeah, how's the store? Where do I find it? It's
like, here's my thing. My confidence level, based on the fact that the controller isn't Bluetooth and ready to go to the phones, that it's limited. I can't even use it on my iPhone, right? It's just on this. Does not instill confidence that at launch they're going to have that thing they wanted where it's like I'm watching somebody on YouTube and I can click through and join their game play their thing and do the stuff.
We're very far from that.
And so, if it's going to come out and it's going to be like, guess what, everybody? The controller's here. You can forget the controller. Stadia's here, and the games you're playing on it run. But the other stuff isn't. That's where you're going to get dinged on marks. It's an incomplete thing. It's even hard to review. Review in progress. Where after a week, we're ending it here. Whereas xCloud, if it just keeps working and keeps building goodwill, yeah. when you finally launch xCloud, and it yeah, is the same thing we're talking about, it's good enough.
I think that the difference is going to come that, like, with xCloud, what right now we still speculate that you need to buy the console, right?
Mm-mm.
No?
No, yeah, it's a different service, and
you
like,
can use it with your console, but you're just it's the yeah. idea is going to be that you have an Xbox in the sky, like I have a PC.
I think that Stadia making like I don't know if xCloud's gonna like are you gonna have to buy some sort of subscription to run it or anything?
I believe you are going to. They haven't said that clearly. I don't think, I
would imagine, but it also it probably is going to be some sort of like the Game Pass or something.
That's right. I mean,
the way I've heard, my understanding of xCloud is that it's going to be you will sign up and have an Xbox account or a Microsoft account or whatever, and then you will buy games through the Xbox store, and then they'll be in the console in the sky. I keep pointing
at there it is,
and you with whatever controller configuration we are just on your phone. Dial into that, and that's your library up there. If you already have a library like we do, then that'll be up there in the sky, ready to be used.
But what we don't know is if you need Microsoft, Xbox Live Gold.
Waiting into those specifics, I don't know. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong if I don't know.
The reason I bring this up is because at E3, I started to dive in, and I was like, I had a different perception of xCloud, which was effectively, here's sort of what happened. I was at E3 and I was like, oh, so let's just say whatever. I own Halo and now I just want to move over and play it on my phone. And we got into this like weird back and forth and they're like, well, that's xCloud and this is this. And I was like, what do you mean? It's like, do I have to pay for it? And they're like, well, it's a different service. And so we got in this weird back and forth, and it was, I don't think, announced yet exactly how.
Well, I'm sure there's
still. And maybe they've changed their mind since then, too. So
I have a feeling that Stadia will definitely affect what their service looks like cost-wise. Because coming out and being like, all right, the service exists, you just have to buy the games, And with a platform like that, I'm sure that there's going to be smaller games that are there for free that are. They want to get exposure,
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's such a different, business model for Google at this point. And again, we'll see. Obviously, they want to sell subscriptions, but like you're saying, Kevin, it's like they're just going to be selling some games and taking a small share of that. That's not money for Google. Again, we talked about this, too. It's like they've got much bigger plans in terms of, I guess, who knows, advertising, YouTube usage, and the Google machine that it is. They have a different business model than these other companies.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because I feel it's a... I've always compared this when we talked about it to PlayStation VR, but PlayStation VR did it the right way of, hey, everybody, we're launching this thing. It's a weird, quirky device. If you buy it, you're on for the ride with us.
Yeah.
We're going to see where it goes together. And everybody's like, all right, cool. And they bought it and people didn't bitch. Google Stadia, people are expecting 4K computer in the sky. That's going to work with everything. And if you get it on day one and you want to happen and it's not hitting that, and it's I got to go look for asterisks in a video. That's like,
Exactly. So maybe to finish off the points, I would say just remember though that Ultimate still fits into an interesting niche.
Can't wait.
Yeah, folks who want to play say 4K on their TV, or that you still don't have to buy like a super expensive console.
I stand by the fact that my plan with it's going to be that I'm going to get it on November 19th, turn it on, see how it works. Of course, all the games are going to be old, and I'm invested in other things. When id Software called them, was like, hey, we're pushing Doom. I'm sure everybody was like, oh, my God.
And so I've been showing everybody.
I'm going to turn it on. I'm going to be like, all right, cool, this is fine. And I'm going to put it aside till 2020 when I can start playing games day and date or transferring saves between things I really care about.
Yeah, maybe come back to Red Dead now. Hopefully it runs we don't even know that it's going to run on the PC code, but anyway, we'll see.
Anyway, we don't know. Two things to correct here. Robbie Rob writes in and says, it's Robbie Rob, not Robbie Roy. So the guy who corrected me on the Google 5-9, 9-5, I got his name wrong, too. I'm batting 1,000 today.
Greg, get some rest.
Ah, man, never.
For Christ's
sake. Number two, Blizzard bans American University kids after all. This is Patrick Klepek over at Vice. When three 19-year-old college Hearthstone players held up a Free Hong Kong Boycott Blizz sign during an official competition stream, they knew what they were doing. The move came only days after Blizzard created an international political incident after a high-profile player staged a protest in the same manner. They were asking Blizzard to blink, ban us too. At the time, nothing happened to the American University team players Casey Chambers, Corwin Dark, and their third teammate, who goes by the online handle T-Jammer. Blizzard cut away from the sign, and the casters assigned to the team pretended like nothing happened. Parentheses, in the original incident, the casters hid under their desks during the protest, and Blizzard, even after taking time to reconsider, still rewarded them with a six-month ban. But Blizzard's silence towards Chambers and his friends always had a ticking time limit. Despite losing the tournament round, they were scheduled to play again. Blizzard's response came last night, only a few days after the company publicly doubled down on a series of disciplinary actions against Chung Blitzchung Ing Wei, who originally set this into motion. In a letter to Chambers, Blizzard said that while, quote, every voice matters at Blizzard, and we strongly encourage everyone in our community to share their viewpoints in the many places available to them to express themselves, an official broadcast was not that venue, and it seems to be the place, and it needs to be a place where all are welcome. To Blizzard, supporting the protest violates that, a reaction that's perfectly in line with Blizzard's ongoing politics is fine, just not here mantra. As a result, the three players were given a six-month competitive ban, the same as Blitzchung. While Blitzchung was originally banned for a year, one of the few concessions from Blizzard's open letter to the community on Friday was ratcheting down a year-long ban. Quote, we knew exactly what we were doing, said Chambers to me over Discord this morning. No regrets. Mm-hmm. Fuck yeah. Go get them, yeah. American University kids.
Yeah, I mean, it's a show of solidarity. It's definitely newsworthy. The story continues, is that Blizzard's still in, you know, a tough spot. Imran and I talked about it again on Tuesday.
It's about
how the response went with a six-month walk back.
But
the point is, this is going to go on. We got BlizzCon coming up. I don't know what else to say about it other than, like, yeah, they knew this was going to happen. They know it's against the policy. And well, it shows solidarity. Awesome for them. They were willing to face that ban. They knew it was coming.
If you don't know what else to say about it, we'll let Robbie Robb, who wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and is going for the MVP award today, write. He says, Dear sweet Gran, Greg and Fran.
Oh, I like it.
With the Hearthstone Collegiate team getting the same six-month penalty as Blitzchung, it should be seen as fair treatment as they both had done the same act over a live stream. However, fans are up in arms again because of the delay of this action by Blizzard because of the delay of the punishment. Do you believe Blizzard finally got around to seeing this team and gave them the same punishment? Or was it the fans outraged that they didn't get the same penalty as Blitzchung that caused the ban?
No, I think they're crapping their pants at every... They're like, God, again? And they're like, what do we do? And they all have to sit down and send 100 emails back and forth and decide how they're going to go out to market with yet another, you know, stoking this fire. They don't want to stoke that fire. I think that's why there was a delay. They're like, And they're probably learning from this, which is like, when it happens again, can they react more quickly? In other words, they have a policy that they just changed a little, apparently, or what's the penalties for doing it?
They explained it more.
They finally, it took them, I don't know, it was almost a week and a half, or maybe it was a week. It took them a while first to just address the penalty and say something. Then they walked it back a little. Now they have that in place, but then it happened again, slightly different, but very similar. Now it's a policy on that policy of how you deal with it. And so, in other words, I just think they're evolving to, like, okay, if this happens, how quickly are they going to enforce these bans?
I think the reason they went after the American Collegiate kids is very much because of the reaction to it. I think they would have gotten around to it.
You think they would have ignored it if people didn't talk about it? Is that what you're saying?
I think we would have ignored it maybe more if it wasn't such a big deal. The problem here is that you can literally see the pipe get clogged. Where it's like, they do the Blitzchung initial ban of a year, everyone loses their mind, they start going into crisis mode, you imagine, how are we going to handle this? The American Collegiate kids do it, 24, 48 hours afterwards, and then it's like, cool, these fuckers, goddammit, but it's like, we got to handle this first. And then it started that conversation of, well, we got to make this right, clearly we're pissing everybody off. And until they figured out what they wanted to do with Blitzchung, they couldn't do anything to the American kids.
Because
you couldn't come out and do the exact same thing. You're banned for a year. And everybody's like,
no matter what.
Monday morning, Blizzard walked in with their coffee cup and looked around like, man, everything's on fire. We're fucked.
Yeah.
So let's just strap in. It can only get worse, I guess. There's no easy way out of this.
Yeah.
There's no good way to fix this problem.
It's, again, with BlizzCon coming, I just can't imagine.
How bad do you think BlizzCon is going to be?
I definitely think it's going to be a lot of those signs out there. I think it's going to be pretty bad. Yeah, I think, I mean, they also broadcast stuff from there, right?
Yeah.
So it just seems, now it's one thing for the audience to have signs, so I guess they can limit that probably. They're going to limit stuff like that, I assume.
Yeah, but even then, that's going to be the thing.
People are going to have a t-shirt under their t-shirt. And so,
I've seen on the Blizzard subreddit, right, there are conversations of, like, they're not going to let us bring in signs. They're not going to let us wear free Hong Kong shirts, and we need to all wear neon orange shirts or neon with like something that like you can get in and be like, all
right,
you're
right,
wearing a
it's
shirt,
like a ribbon, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be bad. The crisis is bad, and people want to talk about this, and they feel, you know, suppressed now. Even though, like, I understand Blizzard's general policy, but it makes them look like, you know, they're trying to say, no, we're in support of your voice, and but they're also not going to.
They got
to
drop that
not,
fucking.
Yeah,
line.
They're not. They're never going to say they're not going to say free Hong Kong.
Every voice matters at Blizzard, and we strongly encourage everyone in our community to share their viewpoints in the many places available to express themselves, but not here, not this place.
Fence. Crotch. Yeah,
exactly. Like, this is, hey, man, we love that you have
Straddling.
An opinion. Yeah. Express it, just not on the show, not on the tournament stage.
Yeah.
And that's just such bullshit.
I think I understand their policy, by the way, because you could imagine, what about all the other stuff? Like, if they're going to allow you to say that, then what if you want to support this other stuff?
We've talked about this.
Exactly.
The other side of the coin is like, yeah, like if you went up there and you're like, well, oh yeah, fuck, I love the KKK,
whatever.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Any number of things that it's like, wait.
But then I flip it back again where it's just like, okay, cool. When the next person wins the championship and they go up there and I just want to thank God, you had to ban them. That could offend me as an atheist. That could offend me as somebody
faith,
who believes in a different faith.
Politics.
Right? Like, Jesus.
Yeah, where do you draw the line?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing where it's like, it's already a gray area and it's already used your best judgment. Your best judgment of somebody from their fucking home country saying freedom is good.
Yeah.
Not that outlandish of a statement where you need to actually crack the whip here and be like, no, it's over.
Yeah.
Because then for sure, like the next time somebody, like, I would get up. If I was still playing these things, if my livelihood depended on I was doing this, I'd get up there and just be a robot, right?
Right.
Good win. We did good. You know what I mean? Like, give them nothing. But like, even then, I'd want to walk
you're
away.
Like, now I have to be as boring as possible.
I cut off some of it. I think it was Patrick Story or somebody else was talking about how one of the American Collegiate kids has already moved over to one of the other like games. Not
oh,
like,
they're
one
like
of the big
trying
ones,
to get off Blizzard game.
Yeah. He's playing other stuff there.
Yeah. But I was gonna say they're never gonna take a political side, which means they'll never. There's no way to resolve it. They're in a super hot spot. Meaning, unless they say genuinely somehow statement after statement of free Hong Kong, like what could they say?
Yeah.
So meaning, I don't know what they're gonna do. They just, you know, again, something Imran and I already talked about, but like they got to make it through BlizzCon. It's gonna be interesting.
Yeah.
To see how it goes.
Yeah. I'm fascinated.
Everybody's gonna have these orange T-shirts.
Was it? Why? Well, yeah, maybe I need to pick the color for everybody. I need to.
Gee,
set
I
the
wonder
course.
How he came up with that. Everybody, where's your orange?
Orange is a good
Halloween,
color. You
you're
know
in Halloween mode over here, Greg.
Meanwhile, you know, Texas University, like, we got plenty of orange shirts. Come on. Yeah. number three on the Roper Report, Capcom will revive dormant IPs. This is Dustin Bailey over at PC Games N. After a lot of middling years, Capcom has made a big comeback thanks to the quality of games like Monster Hunter World, Devil May Cry 5, and the Resident Evil 2 remake. That quality has translated to sales, too, and Capcom plans to capitalize on that kind of success by continuing to bring back series that haven't been seen in a while. In its 2019 financial report, Capcom tells investors that the company will revive dormant intellectual properties for which we have not recently released new titles by increasing the number of our developers. Capcom's priority is still on making the most of its current crop of core series, but the company is, quote, also actively looking to utilize dormant IP, end quote. Capcom isn't ready to announce any of these revivals, of course, and that sort of news wouldn't come in a financial report anyway. Dino Crisis and Darkstalker fans have perhaps been the longest suffering among the Capcom faithful since they've been the better part of two decades for a proper fourth entry in either series. Parentheses, that Dino Crisis fan remake looks great, but it's not the same.
Yeah, I mean, investor report, they want to get a little bit of, stoke the fires.
Sure.
And get people excited that they've already been doing well with well-known IPs. And now they're like, yeah, but we've got a lot in our backlog. In other words, they're kind of met with, you know, what are we going to tell investors that more of the same is coming? Or we have brand new IPs on the way. We've been working on new stuff. Or, by the way, we have this huge catalog and this is a small,
what
smart,
do you think you're
going to
start seeing? What do you think is the next one? So
Capcom Arcade Bowling, Greg. I've been waiting for this. Finally, Capcom Arcade VR Bowling. No, I don't know.
Jared Petty's going, doki doki. He's all excited about whatever the hell you're talking about. Monster Hunter, obviously Resident Evil, Devil May Cry. What do you see it next then? Is it going to be Onimusha finally? They put that out, right? Tim Geddes loved it. No one else talked about it.
We actually did talk about it. I was struggling. I was like, wit of all their games, you know, that have come and gone, what would it be? Actually, I didn't think of that one. That might actually be legit. I mean, I think there's room for that. When Tim mentioned it almost as a joke, I was like, dude, like Dark Souls and that, those types of games are hot.
Yeah.
And Onimusha is somewhere in there. And I wouldn't be surprised to see an Onimusha that's right in that action RPG meta that is happening right now.
Looking off the Wikipedia thing right here, they have a bunch. Ace Attorney's been happening, so I'm not worried about that. Bionic Commando.
Yeah.
Bionic Commando, remember when they tried to do it?
Yeah.
He had dreads, and it was not good?
Yeah.
Remember that? Not a good game. Yeah.
I wouldn't be, but that definitely is a name that I think a lot of people recognize, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. I wonder if you, and I've said this before, and I know people are always sick of it, but I wonder what they think of Dead Rising now. Now, granted, you have not been long-suffering for Dead Rising games.
Yeah.
Maybe you've been long-suffering for good Dead Rising games. Dead Rising 4 came and went like, you know, a fart in the wind. Nobody cared about it. And so if you were to go back to basics, just do a new Dead Rising, give it to people who understand what that game made the first one special.
Yeah.
But Ghosts and Goblins is like, I mean, like, it's the whole thing. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think Ghosts and Goblins is on the table.
Yeah. Mega Man, of course. But again, Mega Man, I feel like they, dialing it back and doing Legacy Collections and sticking to that 8-bit side-scroller is what people want.
I don't know, though. I think you're nailing it. I think these are the conversations they're having, which is like, look, we've got this formula kind of going. I mean, it really is not everything applies to the Resident Evil engine, but something's going on with the teams. They're just on fire, and so I feel like they are in that position. They can hand Mega Man over now to a team and get it, have the people that are just on fire, really, in terms of production and the quality of what they're pumping out. So I do think Mega Man is going to happen. So I think you're hitting on the stuff that will. In the back of my mind, I want to still see stuff like the old Capcom 5, which was the exclusive lineup for GameCube, but in particular, out of
Beautiful
Joe, baby.
Beautiful fucking Joe. Yes.
Real meal.
1,000% they should do a Beautiful Joe again.
I would love to see a Beautiful Joe if I could. I mean, it's interesting because that team is more over, what, at Platinum now or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, still, just like in general, take that idea. Again, that'd be a cool thing to reboot, revisualize. You know, I don't want the exact same GameCube game. I want it to be.
Yeah, no. What's the new
modern
version of that?
Yeah,
but Beautiful Joe was, I thought, a cool franchise. It hit on those comic book tones.
Yeah.
And anyway, they do have a big catalog. So now I'm just excited to see them doing something new, even though, of course, I just want more Resident Evil.
Resident Evil.
You know what I mean? Like, they could just stick to Resident Evil. I'd be pretty happy with that. And
Monster
Hunter.
Don't worry, you're going to get more Resident Evil.
Yeah.
And you're going to get more Monster Hunter for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Number four is a correction, but clarification, kind of. Outer Worlds will be PlayStation 4 enhanced. This is from Private Division's Twitter. If you missed this yesterday, you guys talked about this. The quick synopsis. In a statement to Windows Central, a Private Division spokesperson said that the Outer Worlds, did I say Wilds? The Outer Worlds will only support 4K on Xbox One, no enhancements for PlayStation 4 Pro. This means that you will only be able to play the Outer Worlds in 4K on Xbox One X and PC with the PS4 Pro capping it at 1080p. You and Imran talked about that yesterday. It was all good. Congratulations. Today, though, they tweeted, the Outer Worlds is enhanced for both Xbox One X and PlayStation 4 Pro. It includes 4K textures and resolution on Xbox One X and PC, and upsamples to 4K from 1440p on PS4 Pro. It looks great across all platforms, and we're excited for players to experience the Outer Worlds on October 25th.
That was another This Is Fine moment. I don't know how the statement came up of, so it was half right, if you read it, right? I believe Private Division said this. 4K is only on Xbox One. That's true, comma, no enhancements for PS4 Pro. That part was not true. Apparently, it is a 2K, right? 1440p is 2K, upsampled. So you are getting, you know, a higher quality resolution on Xbox One X, but there are enhancements for PS4 Pro.
Yeah.
That's what I'm reading from this story.
There are,
right?
Yeah, you got it right.
So they just said no enhancements, and of course, like PS4 Pro, people are like,
it's
what?
No, it's just not the same.
Yeah. What are you doing to us?
There you go. The record's straight. If
and,
you were holding out.
Everybody thought, of course, it was because Microsoft bought Obsidian.
Sure.
I mean, they were speculating, like, oh, maybe they're holding back on the features, but no.
No.
Just seems like a hardware limitation.
Just
we
misspoke.
Know. Yep. Oops.
Oops-a-daisy.
Now we know.
Fran, I can't wait to see if the Outer Worlds is good, but October 25th is still so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop. Where would I go?
The upcoming list of software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, it's a biggin. Get ready. Strap in, Kevin. Felix the Reaper, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, PC, and Mac. Kine, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Monkey King, Hero is back, PS4 and PC. Stranded Sails, Explorers of the Cursed Islands, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Stella, Xbox One. Little Big Workshop, PC. The Beast Inside, PC. Sea Salt, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Demon Pit, PC. Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes, PS4 and PC. Summer Sweetheart, Switch. Domiverse, Switch. Rabby Rabby, Switch. Battle Planet, Judgment Day, Switch, PC. Sub Level Zero Redux, Switch. Sega Ages. Jesus. Ichi Dant R, Switch. Sega Ages, Columns 2, Switch. The Jackbox Party Pack 6, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, PC, and Mac. Where the Bees Make Honey on Switch. Miniature, The Story Puzzle on Switch. Dark Massiama, PC and Mac. Raising Hell, PC. Cat Lady, PC. Six Ages, Ride Like the Wind, PC and Mac. Little Big Workshop, PC and Mac. And then the Sea of Thieves Fort of the Damned is here. And yesterday, Gears 5 got an update. It's been just over a month since Gears 5 celebrated its worldwide launch with Xbox Game Pass, and today we're evolving your Gears 5 multiplayer experience with four new characters: the COG Gear, the DB, the Warden, and General Ram, the Ruthless Locust Military Leader. Every character added to Gears 5 will feature powerful multiplayer abilities to master. These new heroes and villains are available today and can be earned through gameplay or purchased in the in-game store. And then, All Saints Wake Halloween event for Final Fantasy 14 starts today as well. I know you're all over that.
Oh, yeah.
You love that Final Fantasy.
I actually did want to play Final Fantasy 14 at some point, but there's zero time to do that. Just hearing about that Gears update, I was like, oh, yeah. I really want to finish that game.
Yeah, I got to play Gears for a game.
I don't know. When is that going to happen, Greg? Yeah. We got to get you over to Destiny still. So.
I know. There's too much to play. I got to do the Destiny. I got to keep playing Death Stranding. I got to worry about Outer Worlds in a second. I got to go do this thing.
Check out that new specialization in Division.
Yeah, well, I'm more. I got to get the Halloween masks. I want that Halloween sign-on drop.
Yeah. You going to try Fortnite 2 at all?
Yep. Yeah. Love to do that.
I know. Yeah, you like hop in and out with the new
Mansion.
Season passes.
I'd like to keep playing that. I got Witcher on Switch. That's a daydream. That's never going
to
happen.
These are nice problems to have, Greg.
Great problems to have, Fran.
Remember how it used to be? You'd pick like one console and try to stick with it, and there'd only be like one good game that released every year for a while?
Well, that's because you're a Nintendo fan. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Got him.
He got him.
He got.
There it is.
Deals of the day for you. I got two. This weekend, Xbox Live Gold and Xbox Game Pass Ultimate members can play Tom Clancy's Division 2, Age of Wonders Planetfall, and Stellaris Console Edition for free on Xbox One during this weekend's free play days. Then, Victoria Song at Gizmodo says, "We've all been there. Sign up for a free trial and then get dinged with a pesky automatic subscription renewal. If you're one of the early adopters who leapt onto the Apple Arcade train as soon as it launched, here's a friendly reminder that you might want to cancel before your credit card gets charged. Of course, you get one free month, and Apple Arcade launched on September 19th. So it's right around the corner, Frank.
It is. It's actually a really nice reminder, but it definitely comes off as like a mean thing to say about a new platform.
I'm sure Apple's like, God damn it.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's funny. It's only like, $5 or something. So it's not crazy, but $5 is $5. But doesn't the story come off as kind of like mean spirited? But it's not.
It's not. No. She goes on to talk about, hey, hundreds of games and they were great and we really liked it. But yeah.
It's just a friendly reminder, but it could come off as like, hey, you might want to cancel your PlayStation subscription.
I still got to beat Grindstone on there. I got Neo Cab waiting for me. I love Mini Motorways.
Right after all these other games.
Exactly. Well, that's a different thing, right? Now I play these waiting for the train. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lug out the Switch out of my backpack and play Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah.
Now it's time for a reader mail. You can write in at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Brooklinen. You spend a third of your life in your sheets. Don't you want them to be insanely comfortable? When you sleep well, you live well. On hotel-quality sheets that don't cost an arm and a leg, Brooklinen sheets are named the winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. Raving reviews from Business Insider, Apartment Therapy, Men's Health, and of course, Kind of Funny. Everybody knows I sleep on Brooklinen sheets. I talk about it all the time. Jen was impressed I was able to mix and match it correctly. Yeah. But when you click the buttons and see the colors, Fran, it's easy. Brooklinen has over 35,000 five-star reviews, more than any other online bedding company, and 500,000 happy sleepers and counting. These are luxury sheets, towels, bedding, and more without the luxury markup. Most bedding is marked up as much as 300%. Brooklinen was the first direct-to-consumer bedding company, meaning they work directly with the manufacturers and directly with the customers. No middleman, just a great product and service. Sheets just don't feel great. They look great, too. You can mix and match over 20 colors and patterns. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer to my listeners. You can get 10% off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident in their product and their sheets, comforters, and towels, they all come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get 10% off and free shipping is use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's B-R-O-O-K-L-I-N-E-N.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen, these are the best sheets ever. Our next sponsor is Manscaped. Support for Kinda Funny Games Daily comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Halloween is right around the corner, and you don't want to spook someone with your scary bush. You might be a Chewbacca, Bigfoot, or hairy bear, but it's what's under your costume that really matters. Again, I wrote this next part. I like to read it verbatim. Greg and Tim are using Manscaped, and they both took a look at each other yesterday in the office, and they were like, looking good, man. Because it implies we were dicks out, you know? Don't be that hairy guy. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with the Perfect Package 2.0. Inside the Perfect Package, you'll find their electric trimmer called the Lawnmower 2.0. This waterproof and skin-safe technology will protect you from nicking your pumpkins. You can also create less mess by trimming in the shower. And of course, let's not forget about the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why aren't you putting it on the smelliest part of your body? For on-the-go freshness, you'll love the Crop Reviver Ball Toner Spray. It's time to get clean and mean with this Perfect Package 2.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES@MANSCAPED.com. Stay sexy this Halloween. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES@MANSCAPED.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at MANSCAPED.com. Use the code GAMES. And our final sponsor is Escape the Invasion. Ever wonder what you'd do if you found yourself in the middle of a post-apocalyptic world that has been ravaged by a deadly virus inflicted by aliens? Looking for a unique date? Or game night that gets you off of your devices and truly interacting with each other? You've got to check out this game called Escape the Invasion. It's all about immersive experiences, and they just announced the launch of their new post-apocalyptic themed subscription box. From the makers of Hunt a Killer, the popular true crime mystery subscription box, comes Alien Invasion, the sci-fi game where you are a survivor on a rapidly dying Earth after an alien invasion. You find refuge in a government bunker, but is it safe to the outside? Is it safer in the outside world? Can you trust your fellow survivors? You think you're safe now that you found a refuge, but there is a council that creates and controls every aspect of life in the bunker. What will you choose? Freedom or safety? With Escape the Invasion, you will receive a box of clues, physical items, and evidence each month. It's up to you to piece it all together, solve the mystery, and save humanity. Not everything is as it seems in this challenging game. It's been called an escape room delivered to your front door where Fallout meets Alien. Escape the Invasion is a great way to get you off your phones and connecting with your friends. Or if you prefer a solo adventure, you can interact with our online community to swap theories and help others out. These are high-quality, handcrafted clues that get you lost in the post-apocalyptic world and make you feel like humanity is truly in your hand. Jen and I have Hunt a Killer subscription. It's fun. You get it. You open it up. You open a bottle of wine. You go through the clues. You try to figure out who's killing who, Frank. Mm-hmm. Right now, just for our listeners, you can go to escapetheinvasion.com/KFGames for 20% off your first box. That's escapetheinvasion.com/KFGames for 20% off your first box. Escapetheinvasion.com/KFGames. Can you survive the alien apocalypse? Frank can't put hairspray on anymore.
Spray himself right now. Be careful out there, Greg.
Big brain on Brad. And Kevin, there's a link in this one I'd like you to open up for me.
Sure.
Big brain on Brad says, Greg, fellow gamer and WWE follower here. Have you been keeping up with the upcoming release of WWE 2K20? If you haven't, or for those interested, Ukes, an original developer of the series for 20 years, has left, leaving a newer studio to take the reins. The outcome, a dumpster fire. It appears littered with bugs, a lot of character models are way off, and let's not even talk about the physics engine. See Bianca Belair's comparison here. You want to toss it up, Kev? It's going to cycle here as a GIF, and you see your hair right there. On the left, obviously, the older version. On the right here, some leaked version, I think, of the other one. I don't understand how 2K thinks this is a good idea. Take a year off, get comfortable with your own assets, and kick some ass next gen. I want to vote with my wallet and not buy this game, but I am conflicted. This year marks another first. The man, Becky Lynch, is on the cover, alongside Roman Reigns. A first for a female in the WWE. A revolution has been ongoing for females of WWE, and part of me wants to support that effort. What are your thoughts on all of this?
Have we seen gameplay footage of this yet? Like actual gameplay?
There's trailers and stuff. I Google around. If you just put in WWE 2K20 looks terrible, you'll find all sorts of articles and compilations of Becky Lynch holding up the title and then bringing it down and it going through her pelvic area and then her arm wigging out behind her back and all these different things and stuff. Big Brandon Brad, as Greg Miller, someone who loves wrestling video games, this is a double-edged sword. It's a complicated situation. A whole bunch of stuff's going on. We've covered on Games Daily the fact that Ukes is off of this one, which came as news to me when it got announced. But then the article where it was like, hey, Ukes is no longer working on it, cited an interview that we went back and found and talked about there where Ukes was basically like, we have so many cool things we want to do, and 2K won't let us do them. And it was like, oh, shit. Personally, Greg Miller, wrestling game fan, this is the best news possible. It sucks that It's going to lead to a what looks to be not great wrestling game. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is, again, the game's not out yet. These aren't official previews. Maybe this is what isolated interest. You know, who knows what's going to happen.
It's not looking
good. I would read the tea leaves of, that's not going to be good. Yeah. That's bad news. The create a player story is out, and it looks awful, the things that are getting shared. Now, granted, these are people cherry-picking things that are showing them to me. So maybe, again, full disclosure, maybe it'll work out. But the problem with the WWE games is that since what? When you're talking about when it was going back and forth with the, when WCW was being on the AKI engine on N64 Acclaim was making WWF games at the time, right? And then the switch happened where Ukes came in and started making SmackDown. Then AKI was made. In the same way we talk about WWE having a monopoly on wrestling, the fact that 2K, and before them THQ, had a monopoly on wrestling games, big budget, you know, like names you understand wrestling games, that was bad for business, and that's got us to this thing right now. The why I think the WWE 2K series, which is, you know, looks great and does all this stuff, I hate that it went sim with it. I wish we were still playing games like WWF No Mercy. I wish that it was just a strong grapple, weak grapple, all these different things.
Yes.
Fire Pro Wrestling World, I played a lot of when I was doing the review stuff for it. Had a great time with it, but even that is a different kind of wrestling game. And I know people always argue WWE All-Stars is what you wanted, Greg, and I was like, it's not. But all of this aside, I'm so thrilled that Ukes is making their own wrestling game. I'm so thrilled that 2K is going to have a competitor out there. I'm so thrilled that it looks like AEW has been talking about making a wrestling game. Like, the fact that you're about to get all these different things in there, different companies in there. Like, AEW already riding such a groundswell of praise from people in the wrestling industry. Having them come out and hopefully team up with Ukes and make them an actual awesome game. Or Ukes make the spiritual successor to, you know, N64 wrestling game. All this is exciting.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that. We need more competition in the space. We saw it definitely when it all really got started in the late 90s and the N64, PlayStation days. And it was an exciting time. You saw a lot of people competing, iterating. Sometimes even one of the games wouldn't be as strong as the other, but it would do one thing that the others learned from and so on. And so, yeah, this year I think you want to really watch those reviews closely. Yeah. Don't go out and pre-order until you know for sure on this one. It is Visual Concepts, by the way, right, that's developing it. So it's 2K. Taking it basically internally. This is the team that's brought you, right? NBA 2K. And
I think
all that stuff,
the way it sounded with the Ukes handoff, it didn't sound smooth. So I think that's why this is happening.
They're probably behind the curve now.
And why is this game, to your other questions, Brad, right? Like, why isn't 2K taking the year off here? I don't know. I do not have the contracts in front of me. I have no idea. They're not taking the year off because I'm sure they're contractually obligated to the WWE to release a game each and every year. And if you don't do this, they're probably owed WWE a bunch of money and are in violation of their contract, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And it becomes that part of the business that is gross where it's like, no, let's ship this thing, make some money off of it, and then next year if it comes out and we've crushed it, people get to go, man, WWE 2K21 is a return to form. And that's, again, jumping to the conclusion, this one's going to underperform and be not great.
Yep. No, I think
that's the whole part of it, right? And when you have a licensor agreement, there are things you need to hit.
Exactly. It is. We're not happy about how it's looking. It's always way more complicated.
Yeah.
It's not even. I didn't even think about it. It's not just 2K wants to make some money. At first,
WWE,
like, well,
for sure.
They're also under all these contractual obligations, and it's like all the wrestlers are now. They've been signed up to be in the game, and they get a cut. And like, oh man, it's complicated. So I think hopefully they did the best they could.
Yeah.
Despite the problems. And yeah, I'm actually really excited that Ukes is doing something on its own. I didn't even realize that.
And that's like me extrapolating from what they've been talking about with their stuff. But
so they haven't confirmed they're doing it.
I do want to say that. No, I think they might have. Okay. I can't remember.
You're wrong, us. But
if you remember this article,
right.
Remember this game.
It makes perfect sense. That's what they've been doing for decades. Like, of course, something along. Now I'm getting excited. Next gen. Let's see it.
Exactly, right. And then, yeah, I also don't think you need to worry about it, Brad, of like, I understand you want to support Becky Lynch and the female movement of WWE. I don't think people are going to read into a game that scores poorly and that it didn't sell. They'd be like, well, it's clearly because there's a woman on the cover.
That is not, yeah.
Somebody will say that on the internet and be an asshole.
The reviews are not going to be about that, I think. In other words, right, if there's anything's negative about it, it'll be in the gameplay.
Yeah. Now, Fran, thank you for bearing with me. That, of course, was a question directed mainly at me. Luckily,
I love wrestling. I'm just not kept up on it.
Will Brewster wrote in for a question for you. He went to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can. It says, Fran, now that Bungie is independent from Activision, do you see them making any kind of M-rated content for Destiny? They had made Halo, all of which were rated M, but then they partnered with Activision and had T-rated games come out. Do you see any similarities with this, or am I looking too far into it?
This question's actually come up a lot over the years about Destiny, which is like why, like there's a major moment in the game. I mean, everybody knows which character got killed off, but just in case you're not up
Traveler.
To speed. But
giant gun came in, blew its brains out.
But you don't really see like the gunshot and any violence. Like, you know, well, you see the gunfire, you don't see the violence of it, which is the shooting game, and you shoot aliens all the time. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's always questions about like, shouldn't it be a little more intense? And yeah, it's gotten darker. It's definitely on the edge of PG-13, but it doesn't, you know, swear. And it's, I feel like actually it's in a good spot. I don't feel it needs like some edgier M-rated, but whatever that line is on ESRB, I do think they have the freedom to walk it. I don't think they're worried about it, but I feel like Bungie is a game that they want, you know, people to play with their teens and so on. I don't think they want to change
that. Yeah, I don't think that's the vibe they'd go for here. I don't think you're going to see M-rated content, let alone the fact that that gets so confusing. And if you put out DLC that was M-rated for a T-rated
right.
game, and how does that actually get done?
But
it's another money thing, but it's also another player base thing, and it is another thing of the Destiny world is established the way it's established. You know what the rules are.
Yeah, I mean, just look at Fortnite too. It's like, does it need to be M-rated? I think if you want really huge games, it's tough to do M-rated. I mean, Resident Evil,
it's like R-rated movies,
pulls
right?
it up. Yeah, it's hard to get it right. I mean, so I think there's there's always a possibility of Bungie doing something like that, but on a different franchise. They're clearly working on other stuff, and hopefully we'll see some next-gen products from them in the future. But even then, I feel like they're probably not going to go M-rated. Like, Halo was never that way, right? So
they say it's M-rated.
Wait, one of the Halos was, or?
Will Brewster says
they
made Halo,
all
of which rated
them. It's funny, it doesn't have that vibe to me, so I never really...
No, totally.
I guess that's when I read it, I was like, well, were some of them? Or anyway, I just don't think it needs it, so.
Okay, I agree.
But they can do it, you're right.
It's time to squat it. This is where one of you writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Spencer needs help on Origin on PC. Spencer's username on Origin is Barrett's Gaming. What, are you going to correct me? B-A-R-R-E-T-S Gaming. What do you got for me?
I just had like the realization, I think because in Halo, like they're shooting real people. It's not aliens. That probably is why.
Gotcha.
Anyway, it just... hit me.
Barrett's Gaming says, I am a high-level Apex player on PC with over 220 hours in the game. Jesus Christ. I am looking for some kind of funny best friends to squad up with and get some wins. I always have a mic and will play with anyone of any skill level. Would love to try my hand at rank if you're up for it. If you're up for it, hit up Spencer. Barrett's Gaming. Origin on PC. Fran, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later.
Here we go.
Milty the Great says, you, and this is Greg, are saying you're pre-ordering Pro Access, but you're actually pre-ordering the Founders Edition, which comes with the Pro subscription for free for the first 3 months.
But that's the only option is the point.
Sure, but I was saying Pro, and I think it said 1 month at one point, so that's, thank you. I don't even know what I'm paying for.
Yeah, three, you're right. It is.
It's like, I'll worry about it November 19th on the box answer. Yeah. Anonymous says, Fran called it the Resident Evil engine, but the RE engine actually stands for the Reach for the Moon engine.
Is that true?
I don't know.
It's from someone anonymous. We're going to have to fact check that.
I like it. Fine. And then Imran Khan himself writes in and says, I hosted with Gary on Wednesday, not Fran. Get it together, Greg.
Yeah, you did say that
too.
You guys are like,
everybody
you guys talked about that yesterday. I mean, who get? It's not. Those are minor corrections. So this all Reach for the Moon? I think it is true. it really is. Yeah, the logo show. I had no idea. I love that. That's a cool correction.
I want you to reach for the moon this weekend.
I'm going to reach for it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Haunted, Greg. That's a Destiny thing.
Destiny, yeah, I know. I was like, that wizard came from the moon. Remember
exactly.
that? Mm-hmm. Dinklebot.
Oh, yeah, the Dinklebot.
I miss him.
You can't forget
him. That's why I walked away, honestly.
Once he was gone, once Peter Dinklage was off of Destiny.
I mean, you know how I feel about Nolan North.
You don't like Nolan at all. So.
Ladies and gentlemen, remember this content rolls on here. Kind of funny. Today, you can watch the games cast live, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Get the pre and post show. Get it ad-free. Watch us talk about Star Wars. Watch us talk about Luigi's Mansion. You can also get it throughout the weekend, pre-show, post-show, ad-free. Or you can get it Monday.
Support
with
us.
Ads. No pre and post show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Tomorrow, your hosts are Imran and Tim, because I'm going to EJLX in Toronto. I hope to see everybody Saturday and Sunday. That also means this is my final Games Daily for like a week and a day. Wow. I'm not back for it's a week from Tuesday because I go from Toronto, Montreal, see Jen's Australian family that's visiting that I've never met before.
Australian,
then
huh?
From Montreal, I know I don't trust.
Had
either,
no idea.
Right? Then
it's a setup, Greg.
Then from Montreal to New Jersey for a wedding I'm doing, and then back out here and get ready for that Death Stranding embargo.
Sounds like a lovely time, though.
Yeah, traveling with the PlayStation and game screen anytime I can. Go in the closets, plug it in, just sit there and play.
If only you had your Stadia.
If only I had Stadia! All the Division I'd be playing. I don't know how the internet speed's going to be up there. I got to try things with you.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole nother
Borderlands
ball of wax,
content's
man.
Happening. I don't know, man.
There's a lot of. Oh, yeah, man.
We just quit our jobs. And
wait,
just
what day
play
are
games.
Yeah, exactly. What day are you back?
I'm back Monday.
Roughly.
A week from. What day is today? I'm back a week from the next Monday. We can do this off air. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every week, on a variety of platforms, we come to you with the news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. Watch it later. YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. Watch it on RoosterTeeth.com. Listen to it anywhere you get it. Wherever you get it, thank you for your support. Please consider thumbs up, subscribes, all that jazz. If you ever see Tim out in the street, now that I was going to say egg him, but don't do that.
No, don't do that.
I know somebody would do it. Greg said. Yeah. Don't egg Tim, all right?
Sometimes things are just jokes, everybody.
Exactly. I hope I see everybody at EGLX this weekend who's in Toronto. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.